This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy, and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
Welcome to hour number two. If you missed the first hour, you can always find the Fix-It Show podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. We talked about a lot of different things last hour. This hour, Chris Mancuso from Accurate Basement Repair on with us, and I have a feeling we're going to be talking about basements.
Basements. And grading gutters and downspouts.
And all the fun stuff that comes with that.
Keep your basement dry.
Well, there's really no other thing more fun.
Than basements?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was in a basement most of the day yesterday, cleaning stuff out.
Yeah, I could talk about
it. I have a question on that. So,
clearing stuff out.
How much stuff can you keep in your basement without affecting it? My dad had so much stuff.
Load it up. Listeners, just load up that basement.
At one point, his wife, Karen.
All that stuff's going to absorb all the water.
Yes, it'll keep it drier.
She goes,
we say that lightly, but we realize that there's still a lot of people dealing with some real problems.
We'll be talking about that today.
It was not a good thing.
No.
Seriously,
he had stuff up on the rim joists. He had stuff hanging in the rafters. Mm-hmm. He had stuff on the floor. He had cabinets full of stuff. Like, I'm looking at going, is this good for the basement? And the answer
environment?
Is...
Environment? Not generally.
Probably not, because you want some ventilation. So you want stuff to be vented because it can create a moldy situation in those basements.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that, luckily. Yeah. But there can be too much stuff in a basement,
especially if it's all piled up against the walls. Yeah. We had the caller in the first hour about the walls with the paneling and the drywall and everything, but the issue was the vapor barrier.
Right.
Well, all this stuff stacked up against your walls kind of becomes that vapor barrier, like you just said, air movement. If you're not getting any air moving, it's trapping humidity, moisture. There's always some moisture in the foundation walls.
Absolutely.
Right, Chris?
Absolutely. Well, and that's a good topic to talk about, too. Today, you know, from the people who had the floods, right, and to where we are today, and people who still need help, and then we're getting a bunch of calls too from people going, hey, what do you guys think about? I didn't get any water. I'm looking to finish my basement. So now, what do I do? So, in that regard, you definitely want to keep the air moving. It's an air movement thing more than anything else. So we generally suggest to people before you do a rec room, and this is what the remodelers will tell you too. If you're going in to do a remodel in your basement, you want to get the basement evaled for sure. Mm-hmm. There's some very qualified home inspectors that can do that for you too. Otherwise, we can do it also. And if you're going to do a finish basement, you should probably get the drain tile tested too. The reason is if you once you're done with the once you do the remodel, if you have a water intrusion issue, it's a bigger deal, right? Because you have all that finished stuff to worry about. We just went to a house off of 119th and Mill. It used to belong to a fireman that I knew. And the reason I knew him is he passed away, about 5 years ago, but young guy too. But anyway, he was a meticulous guy. His rec room was just spectacular. And we came in and we fixed one wall for him back in 2005. And then this new guy bought it, never had any issues. And then he had some water come in during the flood. And it's called us up. We came back, took a look at it. And we noticed some weird cracking now on some of the drywall. And we're like, hey, man, this looks kind of weird. You know, this drywall looks funky, even though it's old. It basement was spectacular again, by the way. So he popped off a piece of cut a piece of drywall out, and he's got something called base shear. So he's got some real structural issues there, which is bad for him. But the good part of it, he caught it early enough where it doesn't have to be excavated, but it most certainly has to be reinforced. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do a rec room in the basement, anything like that, you should have the basement evaled, because some cracks, they're not a fixable issue, but some are, and you should have a good look at it to determine if that's the case. And it's much more economical to do it earlier than later, and then also have the water management system evaluated. It just saves you some wear and tear down the road.
And just say if somebody's thinking, oh, I don't know if I want that, because then that's like this red flag that, oh, I had a basement problem. No, absolutely not. When your basement's repaired, it's better than it was before. When I go in as a home inspector and I look and I see beams on the walls, like, okay, this looks like it was done well, or they show me the paperwork and, you know, accurate, you know, it came and did it. I'm like, this is great. You're good now.
You took care of it.
Yeah, you took care of the issue.
Absolutely.
Rather than, I don't know, kind of thing.
Absolutely. And then we tell, you know, folks too, is that it's a hole in the ground, right? It's a hole in the ground, but it's a substantial opportunity for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
It's always cheaper to go down than up and out. And what I mean by that is in the remodeling phase of your houses, and again, I'm not a remodeler. I'm just I do the basement part of keeping it dry and structurally sound.
Yeah.
So it's much more economical to expand in the basement than it is to go out and up.
Yeah. Chris is with us all this hour, 855-616-1620. If you have questions for him, accuratebasementrepair.com is the website. It is hour number two of the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Get her done. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Thank you for joining us. Bucks first preseason game is just 16 days away in Miami, so we're going to have Bucks, Brewers, Packers all going on. It's going to be awesome for you sports fans out there.
Could we have three playoff teams?
Let's hope. Let's hope.
Right.
All right, Chris Mancuso from Accurate Basement Repair is on with us. Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. This question came in. Is there a standard depth that a basement sump pump should be lowered into the crock?
So what that means is that crock is, if you know, for listeners, the crock is the pail. That's all it is, pail in the ground.
Okay, yeah.
And that pail, the drain tile, which is the tubing, is supposed to go to that, and it fills up and it gets spit away, hopefully far enough from the house so it doesn't recycle. And what the caller means is sometimes you'll look inside there and go, huh, why is this on top of a brick? Why is this on top of a block? Some people will raise the pump up.
A submersible pump.
Submersible, yep. And sometimes there'll be a different size pail, right? You can go get them an Ards 5-gallon pail, or you can have the 1-gallon pail. But there is a minimum size, and then there's a lot of larger ones. And larger ones will take more capacity. It's just your pump runs less.
Mm-hmm.
And so
less often, but it'll run longer.
It'll run
to empty that pail.
Correct. That's it. So if you have a pump in there, what I suggest, put it down where it's supposed to be at the bottom, and then adjust the float. So the float is like a bobber.
Right. But if that float, I mean, I see what you can adjust the float on a pedestal pump to be higher, but on this bobber thing, are you able to adjust that?
Yeah, they're adjustable. I'm not a fan of the bobber, which means people are going, what's a bobber one? That's one that has, we call it a pigtail. It's got it's got a cord and it kind of floats up with
a
this
ball on the end of it, basically.
The other ones have a what's called a floating.
It's in a plastic kind of channel. The one you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean it'll go up. It'll go strictly straight up and
down. Yeah.
Those are easier. Again, I wouldn't change something out.
The bobber ones, every once in a while, I see them stuck between the pipe and the side of the crock and everything. And so then the pump's not working if they're stuck. So yeah, I agree with you.
So we get a ton of calls for this. How do I check my sump pump? First of all, you know, go in there, see what you got down there, and then take some pictures of it. And I know this sounds corny. Well, then kind of look stuff up online going, what does this look like? Especially with AI now, you can go, what is this image?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll describe you what kind of pump you have.
Yeah.
You can call in by us, and we'll try to help you out with that too. Submit the image. But you want to find out what you have and if it's adjustable. And if you can't adjust it yourself, and some people can't, I mean, our listeners for sure are handier than the average Joe Schmo or Jane Schmo, right? I mean, it's true.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, they're handier. In fact, I get people call me and go, dude, you know, that's remedial, man.
Right. Well, one of the issues, though, is so many newer homes – that sump crock cover is
sealed,
bolted down and sealed.
It's black
plastic. You can't see through it or anything. I always suggest that people make a resealable access port so that you can at least open it up, unscrew something, and then reach in there and pour water in it.
So if you do have that cover, don't be afraid to unbolt it, because you know. And those are for the people who are, again, less handy, right? There's quite a few of those too that are less handy. That don't beat yourself up. There's always There's always somebody less handy than you are. So take that cover off. You should check it, because a lot of the calls we had that had water intrusion, not just during the flood, but when we get normal and true water intrusion calls, there's something wrong with the flipping pump.
Yeah.
So when it's a float thing and we're like, oh my gosh.
Well, so basically standard depth, essentially to kind of wrap it up, you want it a little higher. You don't want the drain tiles filling with water.
Oh, he's exactly correct. Yeah. David pointed, that's right. That's a really good explanation. Yeah. It has to do with where the drain tile, the tubing, you'll see two holes, generally two, coming in the side of that pail, that crock. You want to make sure that water level stays below the drain tile. Those inlets.
Yeah, otherwise they can't drain.
Otherwise they can't drain. So that's a perfect answer. He had it going,
All right.
He's all problems too, if you guys can see him. He's back patting.
You mentioned the flood. When we come back, I want to ask you some questions about that, because it's only 5 weeks ago that happened. So Chris Mancuso from Accurate Basement Repair on with us, 855-616-1620. If you have questions, I see Scott from Greendale's on the line. We'll get to him as well. It is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Advice you can use. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Thank you for joining us this morning. 826, scattered showers and storms today, a high of 73. Let's go to Scott in Greendale. Good morning, Scott. What's your question?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you very much for taking my call. Question. I had a plumber out to the house after the flood. We were just minor flooding in comparison to a lot of people, so we were blessed that way. But I had talked to the plumber about a backup sump pump in terms of battery operated, and he immediately put it down. And I was rather shocked because we do not have a home generator. I wanted to know your thoughts on that. If so, is this something I can do? Generally speaking, I'm one of those 620 handy people. My question is, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm a big fan of them. I mean, don't have a generator, and even if you do, what if you're out at, at the Outback or I don't know, wherever you eat, and all of a sudden it rains and, power's out. I think some of the plumbers don't like them, and some people are anti against them because they don't put the same volume out and they don't last forever. Mm-hmm. So what I suggest, I have two of them at my house. So I have two crocks at my house because I'm a nerd. I also have a bigger
floor plan.
I have a bigger floor plan too. Yeah. But I got two of them in my battery backup system. Again, if it goes out during the normal rainfall, like if you get a normal rainfall and your pump, something happens, right? The malfunction on the pump, your battery backup will keep up. And it'll generally keep up for hours, not just a minute or two, hours. So if you have a power outage and one of them freaky storms that last 2 days, it may not keep up. And that's, I think, the negativity that people say about it. But 99% of the time, you're ready to rock, man. I'd put one in. You can do it yourself. Do a little research. We do Pro Series. I think you can get them online now, too. You never used to be able to. You can do a Pro Series backup system, and it comes fully put together, like with the primary pump and the battery backup. They come packaged, so they're all already pre-connected, and they go out the same distance. They're pretty easy.
So we've talked about that. What you're going to say is through the same discharge. So if this is a concern about just wanting to have a pump work when there's no power, they can go through the same pipe.
That's correct.
If this is a concern where, I have a primary pump, and every once in a while I get too much water, and that pump can't keep up with the volume, then I need a backup to kick in and handle volume, that needs to go out a different pipe.
That's correct, and that would need to go out a secondary pipe. But for the average homeowner, having that battery backup is for when the power goes out. Power went out of my house, man, last Monday. And it was out for about 5 hours. So it was kind of a weird one, just a weird incident. But anyway, for an average homeowner, and you're in where, Greendale, you said, or Greenfield?
Greendale.
Greendale, correct.
Yeah, I mean, so you'd be, with that same discharge line, You'd be good to go. I would get one for sure. And the batteries, those batteries are a little pricey on those, but don't go cheap on the battery. You know, obviously okay. get the maintenance like free one. Yeah, get battery. The maintenance free one, because when it's going on and start messing around with water, all of a sudden you're, you know, drinking an old fashioned and an alarm goes off and you're down there mixing, putting something else in there, you know what right. I mean? But
yeah, awesome, Scott. We okay. appreciate you calling. Thanks for listening.
All right, Handy
Thank
Scott.
Thank you very much.
Handy Scott, one of the 620 handy people. I like that.
Right on.
We do need to take a break. Chris Mancuso with us from Accurate Basement Repair. You go to accuratebasementrepair.com. They made it simple for you. Let's go over to the WTMJ Breaking News Center with Elizabeth Linton. And good morning.
Dayton and David. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Chris Mancuso from Accurate Basement Repair on with us. A lot of calls and texts coming in at 855-616-1620. We're going to go to Tom in Oak Creek. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for listening. What's your question?
Yes, we have a house that was built in 1973. We moved in there in 1985, and it already had a finished basement on the rec room side of it. They put plastic up and then paneling. Do we need to do anything with that plastic?
Well, that's a good question. Somebody brought that up last hour, too. Well, it's not an appropriate repair. I'm not a remodeler, but it's not an appropriate install in
not
today's
anymore.
Standards.
The state of Wisconsin went back and forth on that for years. The code said, yes, you should have a vapor barrier, then you shouldn't. Some building inspectors would come in a basement when I was doing that work, and they would slash the plastic with a knife. You know, it's like, we can't have this here. And then they say, yeah, you have to have it. So, and now, and all the sciences point, do not put up a vapor
You don't want
lower
it.
Level.
You know, you're stuck with it now, but it does hold moisture behind it, and it can create a mold situation. And I'm not prompting that because I do mold remediation. I don't do mold. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that most of what we see when we do our repairs, people are taking that stuff down for us to do our repairs when we put in the steel beams and stuff. And they'll take that down and there'll be like nastiness behind it. So what I would say is my recommendation would be you should open up a spot and then have it checked for mold. You should have it checked for mold, you know, and you can do it yourself. I just did a mold test myself at my sister-in-law's house, and it was kind of freaky because it came back kind of
high.
Yeah. I mean, the dish, they had Petri dishes. So, and I had to look at that Petri dish, and I'm like, oh, man, this doesn't look good. But I would check the mold. And if you don't do it yourself, again, you can find stuff online. You can call someone. I'm not sure on the cost on that. Do you know what the cost is for mold checks?
No, I don't do that.
I think it's $300. I'll just throw that out. I'm not sure. I don't do it. But I would have it checked, because what if you're living in there and it's moldy behind there? You know? It has family, you know? I just, you know, I would have it checked, though, for sure.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Tom. Thanks for listening. Right, appreciate it. 855-616-1620. It's the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Chris Mancuso in this hour. You mentioned it earlier, the flood. It was 5 weeks ago. Are you still getting calls?
Yes. Well, yes, we are. And so like 5 weeks ago, and I know it's out of a lot of people's minds, like, you know, hey, that ship sailed. But for plenty of folks in Milwaukee and surrounding areas, it's not in the past yet. I mean,
we're still dealing with it.
Yeah, we have some. I mean, we had a call way back then with some folks that were living in a house and the wall was down and they were still living in it. They're still living in a house with no heating and air conditioning, with no wall, and they're still living there because they have nowhere else to go.
Oh, my goodness.
And if people are going, well, why don't you go fix it? Well, it's not that easy to just, hey, let me just go throw this up and, you know, whip this out like I go with my tool belt. It's a multifaceted deal,
right?
But some of these folks, so what we were talking about on the break is, you know, as listeners, you know, you had some people that, you know, that you might know in your neighborhood, you've seen it have stuff out front, or maybe there was a bunch of stuff out in people's yards except for that one house where maybe that elderly couple was, or that single mom. Maybe knock on the door and say, hey, you know, I know it's been weeks, but do you have stuff down in your basement you'd like me to throw out? Because you don't have to be handy to do that, right?
No.
Go there and get some of those, you know, nice industrial garbage bags, and maybe help somebody, because, you know, now that stuff sat, you know, it's going to start getting to be a health issue for the people that live there. And some folks just don't have the money or wherewithal. You know, I think I mentioned to you guys, we had a call from an elderly woman who whose husband had dementia, and he kept on going down into the raw sewage during the flood, you know, for days, because they had water stuck in their house for days. And every day he woke up, it was a new, where did this flood come from morning? Yeah. So, you know, but on a positive note, you know, there, you know, Milwaukee and surrounding areas, people step up, you know, step up and help your neighbor out, call that family member, see how they're doing, see how they're doing. So we really encourage people to do that. With that being said, too, the number of calls we're getting is still very high. And we're trying to do the best we can, but it's not like I'm running Johnson Controls. It's small business, right? Mm-hmm. It's small business. It's firemen. I'm just some dumb fireman who got lucky, right? And started a basement business, and, you know, we run it off of courage, honor, and integrity.
And you do a good job.
Yep, and so we're told. And we, you know, we try to help people out. We're honest with them about what they need. I mean, that's what made us thrive. But, you know, for folks that don't know that, I was a
fireman in Milwaukee. And honest about what they don't need sometimes.
And honest about what they don't need.
Yeah.
So I only have so many people answering phones. So we're doing the best we can, because some listeners are like, that jerk never called us back. We tried calling him 3 times. Yeah, I bet you did. There's plenty of people tried calling us 4 or 5 times. And I'm telling you, we're doing the best we can answering. But people seek our advice because they know they're going to get an honest answer about it. We're not alarmist folks. And you know what I've been getting a lot through this whole flood is, wow, man, that flood, you must be loaded. You had a ton of business for you. You know, I tell people it's bad business. I don't like that flood stuff. I mean, we'll do the work, don't get me wrong, but that influx of human tragedy?
Yeah.
No, not interested in that. Don't like it. I'd rather just have the steady inflow. We help people out.
And also, just because there's 400, what did you say, 240 people calling you, doesn't mean you can do 240 more jobs in the next coming weeks. There's a limit to the amount of time in the day and people that you have employed and being able to get work done.
Absolutely. And just be know that at this point, you know, if you have some significant structural issues, those definitely have to be addressed fairly quickly. And that's like wall claps or walls that really look bad. You look at them going, oh my gosh, this is all these cracks in here. Water intrusion, if it's leaking, we'll get to it. You call, get an appointment, be patient. Your best bet is, you know, you call, but your best bet is still to send an email out. It's just better. It's easier for us to track. But we'll get out there. We'll get you scheduled. We'll get out, we'll get it fixed for you. If you're in that situation where, again, you have like a wall collapse again, and as you don't have the finances to do it, FEMA just got approved about a couple weeks ago. What I would suggest is, if you don't know what to do or you're getting the runaround, reach out to your state local representative, because they got a lot riding on that mm-hmm. federal funding. So reach out to them and raise some heck that, hey, man, no one's been out to my house to check it out from FEMA. But
interesting. I was going around measuring a house the other day, and they asked me that. Are you with FEMA? Like, oh, no, I'm not. But the neighbor, like, because I had my clipboard and my little measure wheel.
The car says
and,
siding unlimited.
Yeah, but they asked that.
Sure, but see, that's a good point, man. These people are standing, they're, what? Hey, man, where's FEMA? I've been calling them.
Yeah.
I've been calling them. So keep on reaching out. The city of Milwaukee's got a helpline. And if you call even New Berlin or Tulsa, they have separate numbers for you as homeowners. So if you're wondering, man, I haven't called anybody yet, is it too late? Nope, it's not too late. It is not too late. As a listener, you should call to see if you qualify. You should call. Why wouldn't you? You help pay taxes. I would call, see if you qualify for help.
On that note, we're going to take a break. Chris Mancuso from Accurate Basement Repair. Find them at AccurateBasementRepair.com. Great conversations today. It is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Call with your problem. We'll try to solve it. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
8:46. We are getting tons of calls and texts this morning, which is great. Keep them coming. We appreciate it. We're trying to get to them as we can, but there's a lot of them coming in. A lot of them about sump pumps and mold because of this big flood. I have a question. So I got this water in my basement. Unprecedented storm, right? Never had it before. What if I never have it again? How do I know if my basement's okay?
Time will only tell on those. Otherwise, if you're, and this goes up, we talked about in the break here, what you don't have is for time is if your house is up for sale or if you're looking to buy a house.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's documentation.
Yep, documentation.
Because we've talked about this in the past, before the flood, is that you should be taking pictures, you should be documenting the condition of your basement so that when you get this flood, okay, this happened, and then going forward, you know, every once in a while taking pictures, well, it never came back, it never happened again.
I know, right? It may seem nerdy, but but value-wise, it does bring value. Mm-hmm. And, you know, take a couple pictures and stick them in, you know, just make up a folder, right?
Right.
You know, make up your Google folder or whatever it might be. But if you've only had it once, you're nervous. If you, again, like we talked about earlier in the segments, if you're going to do a remodel, we suggest you have a really good basement eval and maybe you have the drain tile tested. We do that in house. Mm-hmm. We're one of the only ones that do it. Is a company, but we also suggest in a real estate deal, if you're nervous about it, you can have the system tested also. Again, it's not foolproof, but at least what we call it is you're getting an explanation on your probability of odds, which means, you know, you open it up and you go, yep, this is it's wide open. So mainly you should probably look at working on grading gutters and downspouts. We did one off of Alta Lewis in Brookfield last week, and that system, water looked like it was coming in a whole bunch of different spots for a while, and we opened it up, drain tiles wide open. But what we figured out is there's cracks in the walls, so water was getting into the core hollows. Mm. So they need to do something there. They're going to try doing some grading type stuff first. If not, they'll have to have those block hollows called weep holing. A lot of times you have to, well, I shouldn't say a lot of time, 99% of the time you have to replace the drain tile, not because the drain tile is plugged, but they go ahead and do this weep holing into the block.
And it ties into the drain
tile. It ties into the drain tile and usually gets destroyed. But again, people say, well, why would you do it like that? Why don't you just do it from the outside then and seal the wall? It's more economical to do it from the inside, mm-hmm, with the weep holes than to excavate the outside walls and reseal them. And the success rate on the weep holing and water management, very high. So what the cost difference is, and we can do either repair, but cost-wise, it's much more economical with the success rate on it, it makes sense.
Yeah, and we had to text it earlier, somebody, when do you need to excavate the outside of your foundation? And it's basically if you're going to waterproof, if that is a problem, maybe an old foundation, or if you have to straighten the wall.
Correct. We just did an excavation on a poured wall, which is rare nowadays on, mm-hmm, poured walls. We can do a two-part polyurethane injection. So, you know, that's actually a really good topic I'll jump into quickly here, is that poured walls, a lot of them get injected where the forms come together, and some of them just get cracks in them. Yeah. This is one of the
cold joints.
Yep, cold joints. This is one of the first years we haven't done one for Parade of Homes. So it happens, the brand new stuff. In fact, we just did, who did I tell you? Cecilia is the one we did to works in the offices here. They're getting ready to remodel their house, call, and they had a leak. Like, and the contractors are coming out this Tuesday, and we got in there last week. We jumped it in. So if you have a poured wall, we do a two-part polyurethane injection. The success on that is huge. Huge. We do those. We're doing one for a whole condo community because there's multiple units. And just know that it doesn't mean the end of the world because you have a leak. It doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, my walls are falling apart. It's pretty common. It's a hole in the ground. So the two-part injection, it's not very disruptive at all.
And it's not a structural repair. It's just literally filling the crack to keep the water from coming through the wall.
Yeah, there's a talent to it, but it is filling that crack. We actually have to drill into the wall, so it's not like you take a piece of caulk and go, we drill into the wall and we push this product through.
We do need to take a break.
Yeah, real quick. And if all this stuff that we're talking about, if you go to my website, Best Inspections LLC, go to the contents tab, there's an article written by Tom Faza called Keep Your Basement Dry. It talks about all this stuff from drain tile testing, sump pumps, Palmer bells, you know, grading and drainage. Great article that Tom wrote.
AccurateBasementRepair.com is Chris Mancuso's website. It is The Fix It Show. One segment left coming up on WTMJ.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station. Making it a great fix it day. It's The Fix It Show on WTMJ.
sponsored each week by Siding Unlimited and J&B Construction. Dayton Kane, David Nason, and Chris Mancuso from Accurate Basement Repair. We're short on time. We went long because we had so many questions and good conversations about what's going on in people's basements right now. So let's just wrap this up. People want to reach out to you. What do they expect when they do at this point? Because you're busy.
Absolutely. Reach out. Again, I know it sounds easy for those who've tried it before, but be patient as best you can. We are getting caught up with the phone calls. And, you know, people reach out to people they trust and they think are honest. And I'm humble about that stuff, but you guys were looking at me before going, hey, man, you know, there's a reason why people call you, you know, you guys over at Accurate. It's because of, you know, your makeup, courage, honor, and integrity. And, you know, the relationships we built over time. So you're still, there's still some folks suffering from it. As the blinds are blowing up here, we have a ton of text messages that we haven't even been able to get to today. So if you have those, you can visit our website, accuratebasementrepair.com. That's accuratebasementrepair.com. You can get a lot of those questions answered off the website. If you're looking for us to come over to your house, again, you can call 414-744-6900. That's 414-744-6900. And we'll get back to you. Generally, we answer, but we're, and again, we're doing the best we can. We'll get out. We'll give you a good, honest eval on what you have. And then if you have some other questions, you can always visit David's website, too, at Best Inspections, right? Best Inspections. David's got a ton on there also. So we'll be able to help everybody out. Always look and remember what we talked about earlier. Try to help your neighbor out. That's what we're all about, too. And that's part of the show. And that's why we push that out, right? Helping each other. It's a big deal.
Absolutely.
I found it interesting what you said. If you saw the house that didn't have the big piles of stuff out front and it's an older couple or somebody living on their own, or go knock on the door and just say, hey, is your, are you okay? Everything good? You need help with anything? Because maybe they can't.
Maybe they can't.
And if you can't necessarily help clean out their basement, at least help them.
Find
somebody.
It's
like, okay, who can we call? Let's call FEMA. Like you said, make sure you're contacting the city about programs that are available.
Yeah, absolutely. And they need help to see who they can trust, because that's the thing with a lot of our listeners, they're not, that's what they call here, right? Who can I trust?
Right.
Because they don't mind, people don't mind paying to have stuff done. They just want to make sure they're not getting ripped off.
Right.
Yeah, paying, you know, an honest day's work for an honest day's pay.
Right.
Yep. Right.
Another great show. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. I think you're in next week, too.
Absolutely. I'll be in next week, so save your questions.
Didn't get to your questions. We'll try to get to them next week as well. So have a good week.
Absolutely, everybody.
Try to get some rest. I know you've been working 7 days a week for the last 5 weeks.
We just rock, man.
David Nason.
Yes, see you next week.
All right, God blessings to everyone.
Have
a blessed weekend.
You too.
Special edition of the Fox World Travel Show coming up from the EAA Museum. They have their big showcase going on. Steve Scafidi and Rose Gray will be hosting that show on location today.
This has been the Fix-It Show on WTMJ, presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.